Support for this podcast comes from HealthNetics. Do you have nagging aches and pains from your younger, more athletic days? HealthNetics CBD is a premium brand CBD that may help take care of aches and pains, as well as relieve anxiety and sleeplessness. HealthNetics products are all natural, THC-free, made in the USA, and undergo third-party lab testing to ensure quality and purity. All CBD is not the same. Order today with a money-back guarantee at HealthNetics.com and use promo code SPORTS for 20% off.
Kansas City Chiefs are the world champions of a sport only contested in America. Strange.
Very, very good. I was going to tweet that earlier on today. Does that make Dublin world champions? No, it doesn't.
It should. So this is an MMA podcast. We had no real huge events over the weekend, so we decided to absolutely fill the trough with many, many interviews this week. We have Leon Edwards, we have Morgan Charrier, we have Joy Herbert, and Brandon Gibson, who will talk about John Jones ahead of his fight next weekend. We decided to get a lot of people on. Obviously, Leon and the Tyron fight has been confirmed. Tyron seems very upset by Leon. We've asked him about the exodus of their beef. I mean, the genesis even. Morgan Charrier, I've been so fascinated by this guy. Like, where the hell has this fan base come from? And what an exceptional performance he put on against Dean Truman. He was announced that he would be fighting for the interim featherweight title last week, so we thought it would be a good time to get him on and really learned a lot about Morgan. We have Joy Herbert, the newest Cage Warriors champion signed to the UFC, and of course Gibson, as I mentioned earlier. But Niall, how are you, darling?
I'm good, man. Yeah, not too bad. Can't complain. It was a quiet weekend of MMA, really, wasn't it? It wasn't in terms of the UFC, Bellator, and whatnot. So, yeah, I'm good.
Do you think that's a good move? Like, you know a bit more about US broadcasts and stuff like that. I mean, do you think it's a good idea to not have one on the week of the Super Bowl because it takes...
No, I think traditionally the UFC used to do one
on the Super Bowl weekend,
and it was great. It was a good thing, I think, for people, obviously, to kick on. From Saturday to Sunday, have a pay-per-view, you know, sit around the TV, barbecue, all that crap. So the UFC used to do good numbers out of it. So I don't know, you know, I'd like to see a lot less cards, but I don't think we've a break now till what, mid-March or
April
or something mental. So
first weekend April, I believe.
Yeah, it's going to be a long slog now from the next few weeks. But interesting to see that they've knocked that in the head over the last few years. But fuck it. Really?
Right, let's just take a quick look through these headlines. Paul Daly v. Sabah Hamasi will go down at Bellator 241 on March 13th. Peter Queeley has been forced out of Bellator Dublin. Chris Bungard now faces Brent Primus. Jack Marshman v. Kevin Holland will go down at UFC London. Otman Azoyatar puts his undefeated record on the line at UFC 249 against Kama Wurdi. Rustam Kerimov looks to be on the verge of signing a major contract. He's just vacated his ACA bantamweight title. That's one to keep an eye on. Jake Hadley has signed for Cage Warriors, White Kong. He faces Saj Haque in Birmingham on April 18th. That's a great signing. Really, really has separated himself from the field with that win over Blaine O'Driscoll recently. So looking forward to see him in the Cage Warriors cage. Also on that Birmingham card, you got Jack Grant versus Mehdi Benlakhdar. That is an unbelievable
fight.
As I mentioned earlier, Morgan Charrier will fight for the interim featherweight title in London. Mads Burnell is injured. An opponent still to be determined there. Cage Warriors also have told me that they're planning a French show in 2020. The race very much on to be the first major promotion to get an event going there. I thought it would be Aries, but Aries have announced that their second event will go down in Brussels on April 4th. Some big names there signed. Looks like they have a lot of money behind them, as we've mentioned. They're backed by Canal Plus. Is that the name of them?
Yep.
Canal Plus. So interesting to keep an eye on that. Whew. Well, that's the headlines, Niall.
And we've one more headline.
Oh!
France beat England in the World Cup. Speaking of the French, or not the World Cup, the Six Nations.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Corbusiero.
Okay.
Zip it.
Fair enough.
Six Nations is bad.
That's rugby he's talking about there, in case our American fans are going, what the fuck is this mad Irish man talking about? But did you see the beef that went down last week, Niall McGrath, between our Europe's own Ioane Jędrzejczyk and strawweight champion Wiley Zhang?
Yeah. For people obviously who aren't aware of it, Ioane posted something.
Well, she reposted it. Like, it's not like she built the thing.
Yeah,
you know?
In relation to the coronavirus.
It was her wearing a mask, you know, standing beside Wiley, as in like a general fight poster.
I just don't think, listen, it's just something you can't really make reference to or even sort of bring
can't
up.
Can't take it lightly. Like.
In that light, because there is people dying, there's people losing their lives. And it's obviously spreading to the UK as well. There's two confirmed cases this week. So, you know, a very, very sad thing to be going around and thrown out. And I just think it was a little bit sloppy from Ioane. I'm sure she didn't mean any malice.
Yeah, she apologised. I'll just show you what went down. Right. So obviously there was the initial post from Ioane. Then Wiley put out a post on Instagram. And it said, to make fun of a tragedy is a true sign of one's character. People are dying. Someone's father, someone's mother, someone's child. Say what you want about me if it makes you feel stronger, but do not joke about what's happening here. I wish you good health until March 7th. I will see you soon.
Yeah.
Now, shortly afterwards, Ioane, who was doing the media, the Super Bowl media days, the press, she took to Instagram, and again on her Instagram story, apologized, I guess, to Wiley. Hey, champ. Hey, Wiley. So sorry to make you feel bad, but I would never make fun of sick people of illness or virus. I didn't want you to get offended, but I just made fun of the funny internet meme. So sorry, but still, I will see you on March 7th. Not the cleanest apology in the world.
Yeah, it's not the cleanest. That's Ioane, man. And, like, who knows? Maybe she does for... She does weird things sometimes to get underneath people's skin.
I agree with you in the way, like, she didn't deliberately try to offend the Chinese people, but she inadvertently did, you know?
Exactly. Is there a little bit of tactics in there? Mind warfare? We know what Ioane's like. She does anything to try and unsettle you upstairs. And
oh, well, I mean, this is the question that she's going to be asked all through that press week. And look, the UFC are rubbing their hands together. Like, you know, when they see this, like, Wiley's obviously commented on it. Ioane's commented on it. I mean,
a lot of people talking about
We're not far removed from watching endless clips of Conor McGregor throwing dollies at buses and screaming about Dagestani people. Like, we literally saw the biggest UFC event of all time with that. Like, I think they're happy that there is some friction here now. Anyway, like, obviously not happy that Ioane, one of their biggest fighters, one of their best-known female fighters, is talking in that manner. But...
Yeah,
it's creating interest.
Yeah, of course it is, and they don't give a shit. UFC when situations like that occur, but it is interesting, and you know, Wiley as well, you know, biting back like that, and you'd always expect a response from her when it's something so serious like that. But another sort of interesting subplot is, I think her management team, Wiley's, used to represent Ioane as well. So there's a little bit. So there's a little bit of sort of undertones there.
But like the truth of it is, like, Guilherme is covering this story. Zhang had to move her whole camp. Like, she said, like, this coronavirus is fucking...
It's incredibly serious. Yeah, you know, like, this, the Chinese Soccer Super League has been cancelled indefinitely, suspended indefinitely. You know, this air, you know, flights and I think into Italy as well this week have been totally suspended from China, and internally over there and domestic flights in China. So it is. It's on that level. It's on a world scale. And it's, you know, very, very serious. And very unsettling for Wiley as well, as you said there, man. It must be an awful pain in the ass, you know, shifting her whole camp. I don't know what she's in. Is she gone to Milwaukee or something like that? She was working a little bit with Duke and those guys in the US last time she was here. So it is unsettling. And definitely, you know, to be honest, you're thinking at the moment, you'd have to sort of go, oh, is this an advantage for Ioane under such circumstances? And it probably is.
Yeah, but like, I mean, just to tell you what Guilherme wrote about this, a quick update on Zhang Weili, the UFC champ and her coaches left China to Bangkok on Saturday. They could stay there for 4 days before finally going to Las Vegas. So, yeah, like, I mean, it's definitely not ideal.
No.
But I do feel as though when you bring someone's country into it, it bolsters them because they have a whole nation behind them now. Like, this is like the Chinese people who obviously got turned on to Zhang when she won the title in China. Yeah. They're going to be ravenous about her winning this fight now. And it's going to, that will bolster her, I believe. And we'll hear Morgan Charrier talking a bit about this later on when he's talking
siege
about
siege mentality.
Yeah, when Dean Truman took the piss out of French people, they were like, he was like, I cannot lose this fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? But look, we'll get on with our first interview of the day. We're going to kind of scatter the talking points around a bit today because obviously,
so many guests.
There wasn't a lot of action last weekend, and there's so many guests. But up first, the headline of this Eurobash, Mr. Leon Edwards, who graciously got on the phone with us the day after doing a media day that I was unaware of. But luckily enough, the UFC sorted that out for me. Thank you very much to Vicky. But great to speak to Leon here. You see, I watched Ariel's interview with Tyron Woodley, and I'm seeing Tyron say, like, this is more personal than ever and stuff like this. And the only thing I've really seen Leon say was slacking his rap music. And it turns out that's what has upset Tyron here, as we hear from Leon.
He's a very sensitive fan, Tyron Woodley, isn't he? For a fighter, he is very sensitive.
I mean, I think it's a good dynamic those two have, though. For whatever reason, this is just...
I reckon it's going to be great, man, on fight week.
I was glued to Ariel's interview with Tyron. And then when he was talking about this the other day, I was like, holy shit, I could talk about this for an hour, you know? But look, we'll get over to Leon. We'll be back about 15 minutes. Finally, it has happened. The fight we all wanted. And the man in the main event that we've all been talking about for a year. Leon Edwards finally gets the recognition he deserves. He is the main event against former world champion Tyron Woodley at UFC London, and he's been very good to join us here today. Leon, how good does that feel? I feel like this is a huge moment in your career to get that pride of place on top of this London card.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great moment in my career, like you said, to go against someone like Tyron Woodley, the former world champion. Some consider him one of the best of all times alongside GSP. And so I am very proud of myself to be able to headline my home country, and I'm looking forward to March 21st.
You know, we felt as though you had been overlooked a lot of times. Like, a lot of times we felt like, why aren't the UFC pushing this guy into a prominent place? And this definitely puts an end to that talk. But does it feel like a recognition for you? It's been such a long time coming for it to finally be down on paper. Does that mean something for you personally? Do you see this as a significant milestone in your career?
Yeah, for sure. To be able to headline the O2, that's a big deal for me. You know what I mean? My first event was in Birmingham. So now I'm able to headline it my home country. So this is a big deal for me. I'm taking this fight seriously. After beating Woodley, that put me in line for a title shot next. You know what I mean? So I am focused and I am working my ass off to get that done. So I am looking forward to March, and I can't see how he beats me, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's like, right, so this fight, the first we heard of it was when you were talking to my pals at Severe MMA, Sean and Steve, and this was probably back in December, maybe start of December, and everything went mad from then on. I can remember my phone blowing up, people were like, is Leon fighting Tyron? What's happening? And this has been going on for maybe a long, long time. You know, what took this so long?
I think it's more on this part, all good to go. Was making excuses as to why he doesn't want to fight me and he doesn't want to come to the UK, but he had no choice. They basically forced him into the position. Now here we are. They put his back against the wall. Now he has to fight the up-and-coming guy, you know what I mean? But he was trying to sit out for a title shot. But like I said, he had no choice, and now here he is, and now I'm going to get KO'd stiff in my country, and then after that go for a world title. So it's all good. Worked out perfectly. Worked out perfectly. So good.
Yeah, I'm actually quite shocked, right? Because I listened to his interview with Ariel on ESPN on Monday, and he's taken this really personally. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I'm like, what did Leon do? I mean, I feel like you've talked less to him. The only thing I saw you doing, right, is slagging his rap career. And do you think that's what hit the nerve?
Yeah, for sure. It's like funny, right? Because I posted like a meme on my Instagram, and they DM me and everything. They blocked me and everything. Like, it took it like very personal because I posted like, shit music. You know what I mean? But for me, it's all banter. He's taking it serious, but he's just, I am focused, and there's nothing much that you can do. He's like, I'm angry now and blah blah blah. But he's coming to the same things and the punch kicks, takedowns, and all the so much you can do, you know what I mean? So I am looking forward to the fight, and it's going to be a good one.
Hang on, I have to go back there. What did he DM you? Is this after you put out the thing slagging the rap music? He DM'd you? I got to know.
I put a meme up, and then I can't remember what it was, because deleted it and blocked me after. Something about you're a punk ass and we'll knock your ass out and blah, blah, blah. And I make more money. I just trying to bag of nonsense, really. And he deleted it after, then like blocked me. So I think just got under his nerves. It's like a weird thing. But he's a crap proper, you know what I mean? Everyone knows this shit, so I don't understand what the issue is.
I was going to ask you, had you changed your opinion on his music, but I'm guessing that's a no.
Oh, God. I might walk out to the music. That might be funny. I might even put it to walk out to. That would be a good little dig at him before the fight, so we'll see.
Yes. Like, I mean, I know this is, you know, there's been a good bit of banter back and forth there. I don't know if he sees it as banter, but I mean, is it fair to say that he's your toughest fight to date? Like, I mean, do you believe this is the most accomplished fighter that's ever stood in front of you before?
On paper, right? On paper, it says he's meant to be the toughest fight, but we don't know until we get in there. And I've done them before, and I thought, oh, this guy's going to be a tough fight. They're going there, and it's easy, so... We'll see. Like I said, on paper, he's accomplished a lot in the sport. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm ready for whatever it brings. And I know everyone's like looking at his last fight against Usman, and so it might be finished, it might be washed up. But I don't believe so. I am preparing for the best Woodley. I'm preparing for that Robbie Lawler. When I knocked out the Robbie Lawler, that Woodley, you know what I mean? So I am preparing for the best, and whatever it comes with, I'll be ready.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you. Like, I mean, is it a good time to fight him, or is it a bad time to fight him? Because I can remember when you were coming off a loss, you looked better than ever. You know, back in the day, of course, a long time ago now. But, you know, you looked like a man possessed when you were coming off a loss. And other people, sometimes it's just the decline of their career. Like, where do you feel he's at, like?
You don't know, right? Because you know this fight, so it must have been a bad night. You never know. I had a bad night in office that night, so well, let's see if he's perform again like that. Then the tier rating, but we'll see. We don't know. Like I said, I'm preparing for the best Woodley has ever been, and I'm mentally and physically, I'll be ready for whatever it brings to me. So I am ready to go. Like, it would take a lot for him to beat me in London, and I just can't see him doing it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of headlines pop up. I know you did a big media day yesterday, and I know you've already reacted to the Masvidal v. Usman altercation at the Super Bowl media day. And I mean, you're not the only person who said this. Like, a lot of people feel like this was a very choreographed move from Masvidal and Usman.
Yeah, it's weird.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. They showed me the video yesterday, and like, it's like a WWE weird little... It's like a weird thing. He was like walking up to Usman with a big camera crew behind him, and they're both like, do something. But no one's like moving forward. It's like a weird...
Yeah.
It's like a weird thing. But like you said, each of their own, and they're doing their thing. And it's just cringe-worthy, really. But that's the focus of my fight I got coming up, and I'll handle that after.
I mean, like, it feels like, you know... a very different situation than, say, like the one you had with Masvidal in London, where there's all this distance and there's so many different camera angles of the situation.
Like,
do you feel as though, you know, Masvidal's maybe getting away from the guy he had portrayed himself as, because he was kind of saying, like, if we're there and we're talking to each other, it's going to be on site. Like, you know, do you feel like this is kind of... It goes against
not
what he said?
No, it's like good, more like Kobe. Yeah, it's like a Kobe Covington kind of guy now, really. That's the way I see he's acting at the moment. He's coming to Conor's fight in a robe, and it's all these... This is what Kobe Covington used to do for his little name, make himself a name, you know what I mean? So maybe that's his plan. Maybe that's the way the UFC wants them to be, to, like, go acting like that, acting like clowns, and to do that. You know what I mean? Maybe that's the way you have to do to sell fights these days, but that's never me, and that's not the way I handle myself. But if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do, I guess. It's a weird thing, but fair play.
Yeah, you're not the only person who said this. And maybe it's where I am, right? Because I'm in Ireland, and of course, everyone in Ireland, it feels like they're more intense about Conor's situation. But I obviously was in Las Vegas, so I didn't watch the broadcast of that fight. But when I came home, everybody was like, Jorge looked really desperate. Like, they were like, I don't want that fight, because he looked like he was begging for it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, why? Yeah, why a man is fighting with no top on, in a row with the boxers on? It's a weird thing. I just don't understand. It's like what's something to prove? It's like the game is going weird, you know what I mean? I just do my thing. I just don't like get involved in it. I leave them to it. I just keep doing my thing.
Yeah, like, I mean, you must feel proud of that, the fact that you've kind of stayed true to yourself the whole way through this. Like, I mean, you're knocking on the door of a title shot now, and you've never really compromised who you are. I never feel as though you've compromised who you are.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So I'm very proud of that, to be able to be myself and to achieve what I'm achieving, you know what I mean? And to be able to be a world champion, coming from where I come from and the way I did it, that's what I'm most proud of. Like, you don't have to sell your soul for money and just to achieve what you want to achieve. You can still be yourself and achieve greatness, and that's my thing, and that's what I'm doing, you know what I mean? So fair play to you. If they want to do that, that's them, and fair play to them.
Yeah, it's fair to say, though, like, you know, if everything goes according to plan against Tyron, that's the fight you're looking at. You want the winner of Masvidal and Usman, if that fight is made.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. After I beat Woodley in London, I'll be fighting for the world title. So if they do them two before me, then I'll fight at the end of the year, the winner at the end of the year. So, or vice versa, if I fight Usman first, I'll fight Masvidal at the end of the year. So either way, I'm going to fight for the world title this year.
It's kind of working out really well, okay? Because for so long, people are like, oh, well, Leon's like the odd man out. But you have genuine storylines with both of these guys. Obviously, you and Masvidal had that altercation in London. You've been back and forth. And, of course, Usman is the last man to beat you. I mean, it's all coming up Leon right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Either way, like, after this fight, I got, like, many options, right? There's two different stories I can sell pay-per-views on, so... I'm in a good position at the moment, so I'm just focusing on getting past Woodley and beating him convincingly and then moving on with my career. Like I said, after this fight, there's two options I can take, and there's a lot of money to be made, so it'll be good.
Yes, and how cool is it that Joy Herbert's going to join you on that card? I mean, he's been he's such a great guy, right? Like the scaffolder turned UFC fighter. What does this mean for Team Renegade and you? He's talked to me many times about you, how you've kind of nurtured his wrestling game, and how much of a positive influence you've been on him. What does it mean for you to see Joy in there?
Yeah, it means a lot to see him and see how he works in the gym and how hard he's been campaigning to be in the UFC, you know what I mean? He's coming off back-to-back knockout wins, and he's got a baby in the way now. So I am very happy for him and him and his family, and now for him to achieve his dream. And he's got a good fight ahead of him with Marty Cavey. I think that's a perfect matchup for him. For all striking-wise, he's got the two great strikers. And it's an incredible atmosphere right now in the gym. Tom Breeze is fighting in February as well. I'm fighting, Joy's fighting, my brother's fighting in April. So Renegade now is buzzing, and I think it's one of the best streamers in the UK at the moment, and I am very proud of my team and what we're achieving.
Maybe even Europe, right? Like, I mean, when you look at the accolades you guys put together over the last 12 months, it's pretty insane, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Even in Europe, like, we've got, like, top UFC fighters, Kizaria's champion, Bellator contenders. It's like, in the gym for like all young guys as well, you know what I mean? Like all under the age of 30, that's doing this, and we're achieving greatness from a small city in Birmingham. And like before, Birmingham wasn't known for MMA, and now it's like one of the main places in the UK for MMA. So I am very proud to be the front runner of that, and what we're achieving and what we're doing for the sport in Birmingham. I am very proud of that.
And I feel like with Joy, Leon, like, I mean, a guy who's establishing the UFC, like Mark, coming into that fight, like, I mean, it's the pressure's all on Mark, right? Like, Joy just gets to go in there and enjoy himself, right?
Exactly. It's all on him. Now it's up to Joy now to just go and do his thing. Enjoy the moment, seize the moment and do his thing. I truly believe that he can beat Mark. I believe he's a better boxer. He's more active on the feet, and I truly believe Mark's been beat many times, you know what I mean? He's been outworked, he's been outboxed, he's been pushed back. And so Joy can do it, and he will do it. And I can't wait. I'll be grateful for him to go first. And then I'll be at the back watching him get energy from him and then go and do my thing. So I am very happy and proud of that.
I know that Renegade usually bring about 85 team members to every fight. Do you think the UFC are going to let the Motley crew backstage there? How he's going to control the numbers there? I can remember at Cage Warriors Night of Champions, I thought there was at least 3,000 members of Team Renegade in the back of that room.
Yeah.
You roll deep.
We're gonna try. I know we're gonna try to get as much as possible backstage because no. Herbert's gonna bring his corner team. I'm bringing my corner team. So we're gonna all like try to squeeze as much as possible backstage. We like bouncing off each other's energy. You know what I mean? So let's see. I'm looking at backstage this time. Try to pull a few strings. Not main event. I might be able to pull a few strings. Get a few behind.
Leon, the clout. He has all the clout now. Yeah. I got to end this on a cliche, Leon, and thanks so much for your time, man. I really appreciate you. And I'm sorry I have to ask the question you've probably answered about a million times over the last 24 hours, but how do you see this fight going when it plays out in your head? Five rounds with one of the greatest welterweights to ever do it in the UFC. How do you think this fight goes?
I think it goes many ways, right? I look at all the ways that he's been defeated before. He's been knocked out before, right? He's been out-grappled before. He's been out-worked before. It's been kept long by Rory before. So there's many ways I can approach it from what I've got available in my toolbox and my attributes, right? So I'm not still figuring it out with my coaches. What's the best way for me to do it? You know what I mean? There's many ways I could do it, and I'm just figuring it out at the moment with my coaches. But I'll be ready for sure. Come to first. I'm always ready. The last eight fights, I don't think I've ever had like a really done to push me. The last eight fights, really. I've been too technical. For everyone else I've fought, you know what I mean? So let's see if this is a guy that's going to be technical as good as me and be able to ask me. So I'll be ready, and there's many ways to skin the cat, and I'll be ready to skin it.
Leon, you're a legend, man. I can't wait for this. What a big moment for you, and thank you so much for joining us on the show again, my friend.
It's always good, brother. Thank you.
All the best. Talk to you soon. And we're back. Great to speak to Leon, as always. And that has really whet my appetite for my appetite for UFC London. Great fights, man. That is a good card. Like, even though, like, obviously I wanted to see Arnold Allen on the card, and I wanted to see
he nearly did it as well. Arnold Allen.
No, that's right. Just you, man.
All right, sorry.
And Nathaniel Wood obviously fighting Dodson. Just some fights I would have really liked to see there. But look, we do have some good ones, no doubt about that. We'll be hearing from Joey Herbert later on as well, who's on another doozy of a fight against Mark Diakese.
He is.
So just like, I guess, we'll have a look back. The only card that was on last weekend was the one championship card, Fire and Fury. It was a huge win for Europe here on this card with, Peter Boost, I believe his name is, beating Edward Foleyang, one of the great veterans of the sport, a two-time lightweight champion there. Obviously, huge win for Peter, and it probably puts him right in that title picture there. And really impressed by him from the Netherlands. Really, really good stuff. They had not really many other Europeans in action there. They had Hogstad against Alma Unicu, I believe, in a Thai boxing fight. She bet Alma. Alma is a star that one are definitely trying to push. She's an Australian, very young woman that they believe is quite marketable, as I know. But there's also, there was Chris Shaw from Scotland earlier in the night. He lost the unanimous decision to Rodleck in that Muay Thai bout, but nothing really else other than that. So, anything to add there? Did you see any other combat sports over the weekend?
No. I didn't.
They told me there was none, and I just closed my eyes. That's fine, lads.
Exactly. Yeah, it's good to do it once in the weekend. What part of the rugby? Quaylen Doris getting knocked out after 4 minutes. Jesus
Christ. No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Irish number 8 making his Six Nations debut.
No, I don't care.
Knocked out cold.
No, don't give a shit.
Yeah. So,
that's the closest thing to combat sports, anyway.
Bruno Fernandes made his debut for United.
I was going to ask you about that at the end.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, thanks very much.
But no, there was nothing else on, really, was there?
I don't know.
Nah, there wasn't.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I did over the weekend was speak to Morgan Charrier. And what a beautiful, seamless segue into our interview with the French star. My God, this man has a ravenous support network. You know, just look at any of the Cage Warriors posts or announcements made, anything to do with Morgan. We've been talking about it for a long time. Probably since his Cage Warriors debut against Soren Back, we immediately noticed that this guy is a huge deal to the French people. So,
Ong Back.
Yes, I spoke to Morgan about the fact that he's fighting for that Cage Warriors title, and we all know what the Cage Warriors title means. I've got to say that the UFC, from what I'm hearing, the UFC are looking to put on a French event in November while Noel plays with Elastic Bands over there. So I just wanted to ask Morgan about that, about where he sees his career going, how important he sees the Cage Warriors title, and who does he want to fight for the Cage Warriors title, the interim title, of course, with Mads Burnell out. So let's go over to this interview with Morgan, and we'll be back in about 15. I have been looking forward to this moment for a very long time, and I am pleased to say that we are finally joined by a man who had a huge year last year, a breakthrough year in European MMA for Morgan Charrier, a man who will be fighting for the interim Cage Warriors featherweight title on March 20th in London. Morgan, an absolute pleasure to be joined by you. I have been blown away by the support you get online. It's insane.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here and to speak with you.
Yes, I mean, first of all, I've got to ask, this fan base you have cultivated, it's amazing. I mean, I feel like you are the most popular fighter in France. Is this the way you see it?
Yeah, it's like the main people, the people who don't know about sport, about MMA, they know me. You know, like if you go in the street in France and you ask them, do you know one French MMA fighter? I think they will say my name.
I do too. I really do, because every time I get tagged in one of these Cage Warriors announcements that has something to do with you, I get a million notifications all through the day. Bing, 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 the phone. It's crazy. How did you get so many fans?
It's from last summer in July. I've done with a French YouTube star. His name is Kamel, and we have done a small web show where he want to lose weight because he has a lot of weight. And so he contacted me on Twitter, and he said to me that he wanted to lose weight. So I said to him, okay, I can help you for that. But me, I need to grow and have a lot of followers to get to the UFC, you know?
Yes.
Like, I know I'm a good fighter, but I know UFC are looking for guys that can bring some excitement, some show. So I was like thinking, oh, can I do that? Oh, can I do something more than the other? And I was like, okay, social media is something I need to put all I have in this. So this is what I do, and I've done it for a long time. I was on Twitter already, like 15,000 people was following me. And then Kamel came, and we did our YouTube series. And then it's just boom on YouTube, million view,
wow.
and then a lot of follower, and then it never stopped growing, and I'm still growing.
Wow, that is incredible. And did he lose the weight?
Yeah, he lose like I think in pounds it should be 40. I think
40 pounds. That's very impressive. Wow.
Yeah, for 40 pounds, but. We need to lose more weight.
Wow. So you're going to do another show?
Yeah. We are not going to stop. We continue.
So this show, it's still going on?
Yeah. There are some on YouTube you can see, but it's in French.
What is the name of the show?
You can see some. It's called Plus Jamais Gros.
Okay. Jamais Grand. Does that mean I am big?
It means never again fat.
Okay. amazing. I will. I'm going to learn how to speak French by watching this video. I promise you. But you have been. It's been announced that you will fight for the interim title. In European MMA, winning a Cage Warriors title is thought to be the golden ticket to the UFC. If you have that belt wrapped around your waist, nearly 100 fighters have gone to the UFC after being in Cage Warriors. Do you feel like this could be the final step for you before you go to the UFC?
I think, but I'm not sure. You know, you never know what the UFC has planned. But I think if I win this title, I do a big win, like a knockout or a submission, I think I should be the 96th fighter from Cage Warrior to send to the UFC. But if not, I'm ready to defend that title or to fight with Mads and get to the UFC right after. But with the situation in France, I think it's the good moment for the UFC to sign me if I win the belt and put me on the October-November show in Paris.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to ask you about that. It seems everybody is trying to be the first promotion to host an event in France. I've heard that Ares Fighting Championship is trying. I heard the UFC is looking at a November date in France. And I have been told recently that Cage Warriors also want to put on maybe two events in France this year. Surely you are the guy who is going to sell the most tickets in France. Is this the way you see it?
Yeah, of course. Like, I've been talking with RS Fighting, so they've reached to me. They wanted to have me on their show, but, you know, I'm in Cage Warrior. I want that belt, so I'm going anywhere without that belt. And Cage Warrior, I know they want to come to France, so if they come to France and I'm still not a UFC guy, I will fight with Cage Warrior in France. But I think Cage Warrior will come like June, maybe. Mm. So maybe I will fight in June in France and then November in France again.
Yes. Why aren't you fighting Mads Burnell? Is Mads injured? Did you want to fight Mads?
Yeah, really, really. I want to fight Mads. Mads is a good guy. He has a good level. He's a UFC veteran and he has a good record. He has six fight win streak right now. So to beat him, he will show the UFC that I'm a UFC ready, you know?
Yes, I agree. And I think Mads is a fantastic fighter, as you said. But the big question now is, who are you going to fight for the interim title? A lot of people were talking about maybe Paddy Pimblett, but I know Paddy Pimblett is fighting at lightweight against Donovan Desme. Who do you think? Who would you like? Is there someone that you're looking at that maybe could be a possibility for your opponent?
To be honest, I see nobody on the Cage Warrior roster right now that can have the potential to fight for the belt in the featherweight division. Because I've beat the former champion and the one of the contenders. So there's no other contender than me. And Mads is out. Mads just defended his belt against another contender. So no, he's on a one lose streak. So no, I see nobody. Paddy would be, you know, great for the show, for the Cage Warrior. But right now, like you say, he's in lightweight and he's fighting Donovan Desme on this London card. So no, I really don't know who they're gonna find. But you know, I just want to fight anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Yes, and of course, Ian Dean of Cage Warriors is considered one of the greatest matchmakers in the world, especially in European MMA. And usually, he does a very good job of getting maybe a UFC veteran or someone like this to come in and fight for a title. Is that what you would like, to get a UFC veteran or someone very well known to fight so you can make an even bigger statement?
Yeah, definitely. I would love that. Get a fight with an UFC veteran so I can see if I have the level or not to be in the UFC, to see if I'm UFC ready. And if I got the win, I would like, even if I can, have another test on June against another UFC vet, you know, have two wins over two USA to show the USA that I'm really USA ready, and they can contact me for USA Paris, and then I can do something big, you know, in the USA.
Yes, yes. I have to ask you, Morgan, about Dean Truman, because your fans gave Dean Truman a hard time. My God. Every time he's on Twitter, he puts up anything there like, bap, 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 bap. Why do they hate Dean so much?
he was the first to attack us. And he shouldn't do that, really. Like, I'm not too much in trash talking. I can do it, but you know, I have like a line that I don't cross.
Right.
And Dean crossed the line like at the first tweet. So every French people that follow me, they really love to attack someone. And so you know, if a foreign guy attack me, okay, but Dean did a thing that was a little stupid. He didn't attack just me. He attacked the friends.
Oh,
you
no.
know, he said, like, French people, you are coward and things like that.
Ooh.
And so I just show what he said to my follower, and they were like, okay, okay, you want to do this like that? Okay. And so now they don't want to let him go. They're just like, they love to attack him, and I don't know when they're gonna stop, because I've told them you can stop, you know. This is
so
the
you
stop.
Have told them to stop.
yeah, because you know it makes me feel sad, because you know he's a good guy. He had a good career. He get that belt, and he lose to Mads, who's a good guy. You can say Mads is not on a good level. This guy is a beast. So.
Yes.
So if Dean loses, it's part of the game, you know? And then he fights me, and of course I come to win. So I beat him. So it's hard for him. He had the belt, and now he's on two lose win streak, and French people don't want to let him. They're on his ass, telling him you lose, you're shit. So, you know, I don't like that. I'm a fair play guy, and you know, we are the fight. I win and that's over, you know, but
that's
my followers
how it is.
Didn't see that like this.
yes, it's crazy, but it shows how much you mean to them. But did that make it all the more sweeter for you? Of course, it was an amazing performance and an amazing finish. You got over Dean Truman, and that really showed everyone that you are top of the food chain in Europe. But did it make it feel better for you because he had said those things about France before the fight?
Yeah. For me, it was really good that he was saying things like that, because, you know, I need to get in the mood that when I want to finish the fight, I want to do something. And I'm a good boy. I'm not, you know, too much of a bully. So sometimes I've used you to begin the fight and like, okay, let's go. I'm going to hurt this guy. And because he said things like that, I was a bit pissed off. My coach was pissed off. I really wanted to finish him. So I think if I get this knockout, it's because he said things like that.
Wow. Yes, it was a fantastic knockout. So just finally, Morgan, with legalization happening in France, with you and your fan base, the UFC planning an event, and you are about to fight for a Cage Warriors title. This must be a very exciting time for you.
Yeah, really. I'm really, really excited. Since the fight with Dean, it's like, I'm excited. Like, I know I'm in a good way to get to the UFC. I just need to keep winning and keep doing what I do on social media, and things will come. It's like, I just have to be patient. So I'm waiting and I'm doing my things. I don't stop. I keep training. I keep, and I just wait to get my shot. And if it didn't come this year, you know, it will be next year. So no problem for me.
I was wondering who could be the poster boy of French MMA for a long time. First of all, I thought it was going to be Cyril Gane. Then I thought it was going to be Saladin Parnasse. But now I really believe that you could be the poster boy for French MMA. Is that what you believe?
Yeah, it's not what I believe. It's like it's what I want to do. It's my one of my goal is to become a legend in France of MMA sport. You know, I want the kids when they start MMA, they say I want to do like Morgan, and I'm coming because I've saw Morgan. I really want to be that French star that French people know. So this is what I'm working on.
Morgan, I can tell you myself that you are already a star, my friend. I cannot wait to see you fight for the interim Cage Warriors featherweight title, and I hope we can get you on the show again because this has been fantastic. I've learned so much about you.
Thank you. I will really, really love to get back on the show, really.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, we will organize that, my friend, and thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, sir.
Bye.
What a pleasure it was. Niall gave me a bit of abuse today over this. He said I was like Joey Barton in that French press conference when he starts. And I was like, I had to go back and listen to it.
Morgan. Oui. Casual, yes.
I don't think it was that bad. But holy shit, how impressive is he? Like, his English is perfect.
Yeah, no, very good, very good.
I didn't know he could speak.
Funny guy as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great, great.
What an incredible story about this YouTube show.
Yeah, the guy lost all the weight.
Yeah.
40 pounds. He signed me up next, Morgan.
he sent me a link there for the show. I'm going to embed it into any articles that come out after this episode, so he's going to have a look if he wants. I'm sure there's a subtitle option there on YouTube, especially when it's got like the popularity this show has. He's like saying like millions of views every
yeah.
show, and he's still doing it. Like it's an ongoing thing, so his fan base will continue to grow if it's got that yeah, kind of popularity, you know.
His social media traction looks good anyway, so
unbelievable.
Yeah, he's obviously a very popular guy, and I think it's weird in France. Like, we look at, you know, it was sort of the same with Tom Duquesnoy as well when he was fighting. Like, Tom was doing mainstream documentaries and stuff like that. So, like, that's a good thing. I'm excited to see when, you know, it does come around now in France in a couple of months or whenever. It was supposed to be this month.
It's
going to be, they're not hearing it here, so it's fine. And I think it's going to be interesting to see that now, how the French people will take to these athletes and will they get behind them. So, they seem to have a good track record of it. So, hopefully it continues.
Yeah, like, I mean, as I said to him, I was like, first of all, like, when I'm thinking about this French card this year, I'm like, Cyril Gane's going to be huge there.
Yeah.
If they can get Saladin Parnasse from KSW. But, I mean, the numbers he's getting dwarf both of those guys. Like, he is a huge, huge presence online. You know what I mean? A huge fan base. So I feel like if he can get that belt, it would be a great signing for the UFC, man. Like, it would be ideal. Like, this is a guy that's obviously very experienced with the media. He's very experienced with the spotlight. He's a guy that will do lots of interviews. Who's well known. You know, I feel like it's a win-win, but he's got to get that belt first. I don't know if Cage, Mads Burnell's going to want to fight him definitely when he has the interim title, so I don't know how that's going to play out. But I wanted to ask you, because we just skimmed over it there at the start of the show, Peter Queeley off that Dublin card against Brent Primus. One of the fights everybody was most looking forward to. Without a doubt, this is what we wanted to see when Bellator floated this idea initially, was international, like US fighters taking on our guys. And Queeley v. Primus, after Primus doing what he did to Tim Wilde, and Queeley after what he done to Ryan Scope, was just so interesting. And look, fair play to Chris Bungard stepping up on short notice. I think that's a bit weird, actually, because wasn't Queeley trying to fight Bungard on this card?
Yeah, we were talking about it for ages.
And I don't really understand.
Yeah,
that,
no, man. It's totally disappointing, and it's, you know, it was one of those fights, as you mentioned there, that it was a title eliminator. You know, if Peter's winning that fight, he claims to go and get a title shot. Same for Brent. So it is disappointing. I'm just interested now to see what Bellator are going to do. You know, Paul Redmond's there. Obviously, you fall out in the opponent for him as well. Ryan Scope and Georgie Karakian's in there are going to be fighting him. So
that's a great fight, yeah.
Yeah, it's the one that should be bumped up for me. But sure, listen, we who knows what the brass will do there. But yeah, it's really disappointing. A few of the opponents obviously have fallen off now. So it's taking a little bit away from the card for me, in my opinion. But I'm sure the fans will turn out in force.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the card here and I'm just... Like, right, like, take ourselves out of the situation. We can't be looking at this like we are Irish MMA guys.
Yeah.
Right? So from an international perspective, what is going to get you excited here? Galler v. Cal, obviously at the top of the card there. That's a very important one. Like, I mean, they'd be in big trouble if they lost that, you'd imagine.
Oh, massively, yeah.
And then, of course, like, I mean, Redmond v. Carcanion is a huge fight internationally, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's one of the best fighters in Ireland against a well-established Bellator fighter from America.
If you said it, you know, if Phantom was to happen to the top fight, that's the one that you'd sort of put your eyes on after. And
as you said about Queeley there, sure, yeah, that should go up in his place.
Of course it should, and because it's not, like, in terms of international interest, it's very, very sort of domestic, the rest of the fight card, in terms of UK and Ireland fighters. If you look down the fight card, and obviously
Encamp and Long's a great fight.
It is a very good fight.
My favourite fight is Bandejas and Malambo. That's unbelievable.
That is an unbelievable fight. I even forgot that was on the fucking card. That's probably the best fight in paper.
That's a brilliant
matchup. Really, really exciting fight there. You know, two guys who have really impressed me. Yeah. Like, outside of it, we're struggling a little bit. I think so.
Cam Moore in a very high level fight against this Aronis guy, but I mean, it's just it's not a name that's going to compel people, you know. Like, people, like, I don't know.
In terms of draws, yes, it's top heavy, and we've lost a few of those names already. So obviously with Peter Queeley, Peter brings a big crowd, and I think Paul's or his opponent as well, you know, that would have been, as we said, you know, it's a world title eliminator, so people are getting excited, they come along just to see that. There's issues.
Like, I like a lot of these fights because I know the people that are in them. Like, I like Mulpeter v. Crawford as well. Like, you know, I like Roddy v. Duncan's a good fight. You know, even Fleury v. Moore. But it's just like, you know, do people from the US look at this card and go, oh my God, you know? But do they need to? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's just...
Bellator aren't doing themselves any favours. We've talked about this, and we've talked about it again. They were getting things right, putting on that fight, but you have to have a backup plan sometimes as well, and maybe oil it out a little bit more and give more to the international audience, because this is going on, you know, it's not going on TV in the US, so I'm not so sure how many people are going to be interested in a lot of those fights in the US if they're looking at trying to boost their numbers on Paramount.
Yeah, Gallagher is obviously going to be big TV, like, in the US. They love him over there, but... Yeah, I guess it's we're going to just have to see how it goes. Like, do you think does it affect numbers? Like, are they still going to see a sellout? Like, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they will.
I think they will, you know. But it's not...
I can understand from Bellator's perspective a little bit, right? We keep on going, like, oh, we want these fights and this fight. They keep selling the place out, so why? What's the incentive, like? What's their incentive, you know?
You know the reason why they're selling the place out?
Why?
It's because local fans. We've talked about this before. It's clubs and stuff like that. It's not what they're doing in the marketplace themselves, because loads of those fighters are selling 400 or 500 fucking tickets per gym or whatever. Like, it's only a 9,500 arena, and yeah, it probably will be solid because the Irish MMA fans are great.
It's way better than any other European events.
Yeah, but like, most fucking people don't know what's going on. You know, if they're going on this attack and going into a mainstream audience, they've done fucking nothing to make an imprint in it, in my opinion. That's just being realistic. Like, when do you hear about anyone talking about, you know, Bellator? You'll hear them talk about UFC.
Like, I feel like it really picks up on Fight Week. You know, like you hear people, like, people that generally wouldn't be talking about MMA or Bellator. Like, they kind of know an event's on in the three arena. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. All right, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it goes down on February 22nd. Not long now, couple of weeks away.
2 weeks, is it?
Three.
All right.
In between.
We're not counting the days.
Right. Well, look, from Bellator back to the UFC, Joy Herbert making his debut on that London card. It's a beautiful fight.
We really
love it. Against Mark Diakese. I was speaking to Joy about this, and I was saying, like, from your point of view, you, like, all the pressure's on Mark there. Everyone internationally knows Mark. They've seen him in big fights. He has... You know, he's been in there. He's established in the UFC. Whereas Joy's coming in, people will look and they'll say, well, this is his debut. He's coming in on short notice. They'll expect that Mark will be a favorite, right? So, I mean, he comes in and he beats Diakese. He is off to the races. And I also feel like with Leon on the card, it's great for him. It's going to put an extra spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
Because
definitely.
You don't have to even ask Leon. He's just going to tell you about Joy, like, every interview. You know what I mean? So that's perfect.
Of course. It's deadly. And I think... Maybe, you know, as you said there, for UK and Ireland fans, it's not so much of a maybe discrepancy if you're looking.
Oh yeah, no, but I'm talking about guys who they've never seen Joe before. They don't watch Cage Warriors.
Well, they're in for a good surprise.
Yes,
because the guy throws down and bangs, and that's the fight I'm looking at seeing. I think Markle.
Mark got stopping power too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course he does. Sure, we saw what Mark knew. I think it was Pacalainen in Manchester a few years ago. That was unbelievable.
I do favour Joe in the striking exchanges, but I know how dominant of a wrestler Diakese can be.
I think Mark's going to try and use the wrestling in this one. I think, you know, that's what he talked about previously. He was going back to maybe his roots and getting a little bit more wrestling in. So it's really interesting fight. Love it. I think it's going to be an absolute war. And, you know, probably... Early days, early doors, potential fight of the night right there in London.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Diakese is going to wrestle him for 3 rounds, I don't think it'll be the fight of the night. But seeing what Joey did against Steve O'Keefe,
phenomenal.
He was out grappled for so long, and then he, the first opportunity he got, he finished the fight. Like, so, I mean, that's the type of guy he is. He's great crack, too. I've loved getting to know him more by doing these interviews. He's a funny guy, man. So down to earth. Let's go over to the Joy interview, and we'll be back shortly. We asked for it to happen. We asked the MMA gods to give Joy Herbert a UFC contract, and they have come up trumps. The former now Cage Warriors lightweight champion has signed on a dotted line with the UFC, and he is set for a huge debut on one of the best fights of the entire card against Mark Diakese on March 21st in London. Joy Herbert, how does it feel, my friend? UFC lightweight.
Well, Saturday, yeah, UFC lightweight, about fucking time, isn't it?
It must feel good though, man.
Yeah, man, it feels awesome, man. It's been a long time coming. It's finally here now. So yeah, let's get it cracking. Let's get the ball rolling.
It's funny, excited. Right? Yeah, because I mean, we were talking the last time, and I felt as though you really were up in the air at that stage. You were like, it might happen, it might not. You were definitely kind of 50-50. How did it feel when the call came through? Can you tell us how that happened? What was that moment like?
Yeah, it was. I had a phone call off Graham, and he was like asking me all questions, and I said, "Oh, you might have to, you know, mate, you might have to get in at short notice because they're still saying like they need to cut guys, and it might be like you might have to, you know, jump in a fight in 3 weeks notice or 4 weeks." And I was like, "Oh, all right, that's fine." He said, "I'll have a meeting with him now anyway. I'll get back to you." And then I come off the phone. And I'm thinking, "Oh, bloody hell, man, bloody short notice fights, or I might not get in." And he's rang me back like straight away going, "All right, mate, and there's another thing." And I was like, yeah, what's up? I was only pulling your leg, you got the contract. And I was like,
That's sly.
I was like, I was laughing at that. And then my missus and that was getting crazy. I was just like, crazy. I was laughing like, it's funny, man. But I was just happy like a static, you know what I mean?
Is it an emotional moment? Like, I'm a very sensitive man. I can imagine I'd start bawling, crying. I'd say I'd be in a glass box of emotion if that just happened to me. Is it like that? I mean, does it feel like you've worked for so many years just to get to this moment and then it happens? Is it like, it must be an amazing feeling. Like, it must be an absolutely unbelievable feeling. I'd say so many times in your career, people have tried to knock you back. I know they have, with Bama and that ticket bullshit back in the day. And then to get that call to say, like, you are one of the elite fighters in the world, it must be amazing.
Yeah, it was I was relieved, and, you know, it was an amazing feeling. But in another sense, I don't want to, like, get too above myself. I want to keep level-headed, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to be one of these guys like, oh, they got to the UFC and then that's it, then they just got to the UFC and they don't do very well in the UFC. They're just like, oh, that's an achievement, getting to the UFC. I ain't thinking like that. I'm getting in the UFC and I'm like, as soon as I got the call, I'm thinking, all right, who am I fighting next? You know, it's what I got to do. I've got to push on now. I've got to improve more. Like, I want to do well in the UFC. I know I'm going to. So it's just like the journey I end. Like, I didn't want to feel like, oh, I'm so over the moon. Cause like it's just starting now, so I kept myself level headed. I'm keeping myself level headed, and like, you know, I'm getting prepared.
Yes.
So yeah, man.
It makes sense. It makes sense to me why you are the professional fighter and I am not. After listening to that, how quickly before you rang the scaffolding office and told them, lads, I'm not going to be in on Monday. I mean, how long did that take you? 5 minutes.
I got the phone call about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, or two, 3 weeks ago, something like that. I told a couple of lads I was working with, but they kept it quiet for me. And because I was like, oh, I ain't going to say nothing yet because I don't know what if I've got a fight coming up or anything yet. So obviously I'm going to carry on working until I've got a fight. And then Bottom, he asked me about, oh, he says, do you want to fight? And I think a week later, he says, do you want to fight on UFC London, Mike Lee Casey? I was like, yeah, yeah, sounds. So then we all sort, that was all sorted. So I don't know if I had to tell my gaffer that I'm not going to be in work. So then I seen him like, and I told him, and he was sound about it. He says, yeah, yeah, just give it your all, mate. It's, you know, yeah, I understand. All the best, man. Hope you do really well. We'll all be rooting for you. It was sweet, man. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
And even if it wasn't sweet, you know, I'm a big man. I'm in the UFC. You know what I mean? put the scaffolding beat.
Just,
you know,
knock him out and walk off the building site.
No, he's they're all good, man. All good. Good sound, lads.
You mentioned it there, that the matchup in itself is one thing that's really exciting me. It's two former Bama champions, and of course, you're a Cage Warriors champion on top of that. But Mark is seen as an experienced guy in the UFC. I feel like this fight is made in terms of international audiences. Of course, diehard fans know that you have a huge, like, you know, it's a very, very close fight here. I think you have a striking advantage. I think he has a wrestling advantage. But I did say that before you fought Jack Grant as well, and you've shoved them words right back down my throat. But I'm just saying in general. But the pressure is on him here, right? Like, he's the experienced UFC fighter. From, like, the US perspective, from the UFC's perspective, if you come out here and you do what you do and you knock this guy out, this is huge. This is a huge statement win for you. Do you feel like that? I mean, the ball is in your court here to make a huge impression very quickly.
Most definitely, mate. That's what I'm saying when they offered me the fight. I was like, oh, yeah, yes. And obviously, I'll speak to Breeze first, as I always do. And Tom's like, yeah, 100%. 100%. This fight, is, you know, it's a good fight for you. It's where you need to be. It's this level of opponent, you know what I mean? 100%, I've got belief in you that you'll go all the way to the top. I feel the same, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, I feel like, you know, I'm 31, I'm in my prime now. So this is where, like, coming at this level, someone who's, like, got a decent name in the UFC, got some good scalps, it's a good fight, first fight for me. So I ain't got to, like, sort of fight a couple of people who just got in the UFC themselves and then build myself up to this level and then build myself up again to the top 10. So I'm sort of getting straight in the mix, if you know what I mean. So it's like, come next year, I could be fighting, in, you know, to get in the top 10 and stuff, top 15.
Yes.
So at this stage in my career, it's a good place to be.
We spoke to Leon Edwards at the top of the show. Of course, your teammate at Renegade, who was headlining the event against former world champion Tyron Woodley. And he said he really likes this fight for you. He's like, it's not like, I think it's a good fight in terms of Mark's a big name, etc. He goes, I think it's a great style matchup for Joy. And I think Joy is capable of knocking this guy out very quickly. I mean, when you think about it, look, you're famed for your incredible hands. They call you the cannon, for Christ's sake, the Black Country Banger. I mean, do you feel as though this is an opponent where you can really showcase your ability on the feet and maybe even get that knockout?
Yeah, I feel like I can go against anyone and get a knockout, to be honest with you. Obviously, Mark's got good stand-up himself, good striker. You know, he's got a few knockouts himself. So yeah, it'll be a good fight in the feet. But yeah, I'm totally 100% confident in my ability that I can get in there and get a stitch. So yeah, like you say, it is a good for me. Especially, as you know, he's a good name and that. But yeah, it should be a good, great fight for the fans, man. I'm excited.
And that kind of catapults you, as you say, in the division, right? Like, I mean, Dia Casey's well respected, as he should be. I mean, the guy came into the UFC as an undefeated prospect, the champion. He lost a few fights to top tier guys, but I mean, He's fought some great guys as well, like Joseph Duffy. He has some great wins. Do you feel as though this will kind of put the division on notice? Like, you might not have heard of him before now, but this guy Herbert can bang.
Yeah, mate. That's what I'm saying. The guy's got a good name. You know, he's beat Duffy. He beat Venata in his last fight. In it, yes. Lando Venata. He's a decent name himself. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Get the scalp, and obviously, boom, they're gonna want to put me straight over there, isn't it? Yes. So yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good, man. This is what we want. This is what you want in your career, man. You need these tests, these things. You know, it's gonna, when you look back at it, when you're in the armchair and that, you're gonna be like, yeah, man, I went in there and I fought these guys and I got them all, worked my way to the top. I did it the hard way. So it's just exciting times, bro.
Yes, it really is. It really is. Right, I've got two more for you, and thank you again for joining me today, Joy.
first of all, right, you're in the hot seat. You have just vacated the Cage Warriors Lightweight Championship. Who is going to be the next Cage Warriors Lightweight Champion? Now, we have a few guys in the mix. There's Mason Jones.
Yeah.
There's Paddy Pimblett. I'm going to forget someone. Someone's going to get upset with me. But, I mean, you know, there's a few guys there. Like, even... I can't think off the top of my head. Even Joe McColgan, these different dudes all kind of jumping up and saying they want the shot. Who do you think will be wearing that belt around their waist next?
I don't know who they're gonna have the fight with. I think who's Paddy fighting in London?
Donovan Desme, I believe.
Oh, is he fighting Desme again? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they've been booked to happen. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, like, twice, but they both got injured, didn't they?
Yeah, it's like the Habib and Tony of Cage Warriors.
Do you know what, bro? Do you know what I like, bro? I like that that young lad, Oban Elliott.
Oh shit! Yeah, like, the Welsh kid.
Oh, he's only had a couple. Yeah, the Welsh guy, man. He's only had a couple. I think it's about like two or three fights in Cage Warriors. But I'm telling you, mate. This kid's good, man. I reckon he'll go all the way and get the straps. I don't know if he'll get it next, but I feel like in a few fights' time, he's gonna be up there and he's gonna have it, bro. So yeah, I look forward to seeing him doing bits in Cage Warriors. But for now, it's probably gonna be. I'd probably say Paddy might get in next year. To be fair, he may get in next. Yeah.
Have you been trying to avoid saying that one way or the other there? Because a lot of people, someone's going to get upset with you here, right? No matter who you predict, the other person's going to get a bit upset.
Hey, fuck it, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah, fuck it. They're all good guys, you know what I mean? But like I say, I do like the look at Oban. I think he's one to watch, and I think he'll get his hands on it soon. But in the meantime, I think probably Paddy will get in next, to be fair.
Right, okay. And here's the next one, okay? You are, I believe you're the 96th or 95th. I think 95th fighter signed from Cage Warriors to UFC. Who is number 96? Any division now. It doesn't have to be a lightweight.
Hopefully he can fight us. My boy in the fight is Fredrik.
Animal. Middleweight champ.
Fucking animal. What does he say? He's like a lion. He's a fucking lion, bro. Tania, he's an animal. Hope he gets it, bro, and he deserves it, bro. He's been grasping for years and that. Hopefully he gets him. He has his defence in Birmingham, defends his title, and then they give him the shout, like, because at the end of the day, he's an exciting fighter. You know, he goes out, wears his heart on his sleeve. He's got some banging, you get me? And man, he deserves to be in the UFC. But if it's not Nafias, I reckon it's going to be Ross Houston or maybe Reese McKee, to be fair. Yes, I reckon maybe one of them two.
Yeah, I mean...
Ross or Reese, both good lads.
Yeah, I feel like Ross has been knocking on the door for so long, but it's just he hasn't had a fight recently and that's what's holding him back. It's nearly like, I feel if he wins one more fight, they'll sign him, you know?
Yeah, hopefully they do, man. Yeah, hopefully he gets the call, yeah. So either him or, you know, either Nafias in that. But maybe Reese, I think Reese might be coming up there as well soon, a couple more fights as well.
Yes, I agree. He has that Belfast card coming up, so that could be his big statement win. Like, you've had many as well before you get the call up, you know? But, Joy, I have to thank you for coming on and joining us again. We're all delighted. Honestly, it's the best news of 2020 so far. And I love that fight, man. That fight is incredible. And I'm going to be over in London. I'll be over in London and I'll get to have a sit down and chat with you over there. And I really can't wait to see it. I might rob a pair of Reeboks off you or something. You know what I mean? We'll see whatever you have to spare.
Whatever, bro. Come on. Well, listen, link up after or something. We'll have a beer or something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. That would be great. All the best to you. And thank you so much for this again, man. I can't wait to see you in London.
All right, nice one, PT. Catch you later,
man. But great to speak to Joy. And this is how much of a nice guy he is, all right? I asked him a question towards the end of that interview. And I was like, who's going to be the next Cage Warriors lightweight champion? And, you know, in the moment, like when I ask questions like that, I can't even think. You know what I mean? When you're put on the spot.
Yeah, of course.
And, he obviously said who he thought. I think he said Paddy, like the Donovan Desme fight, could be made for the title. He was talking about Mason Jones, different guys like that. And then he rang me back and he was like, we had obviously finished the interview, so we hadn't any recording equipment on me or whatever. He's like, I forgot to say Jack Grant. He goes, oh man, I think it definitely could be Jack Grant. So I said, I'll definitely say it after the interview because you've gone to the effort of ringing me. But what a guy. No, he's dead right. Jack Grant's a savage. Yeah. And he's got that fight with Mehdi Ben Lakhdar coming. So, yes, very, very exciting stuff. But
now they seem like good skins. Him and his missus as well. Yeah, she's very active online. So you know, good people, and it's good to see it work out for them. You know, I think we can go back as far as you mentioned, I think, during the interview as well there about the Bama tickets and that absolute calamity that Bama fucked him over, shockingly.
It was outrageous.
It was most outrageous thing I've ever seen in my life. So
how stupid, like, you know, in hindsight. Well, just look at now.
We said it then. That's, yeah, you know, 2 years ago, probably at this point, and fucking just insanity. And that's what goes on. To see this guy graft all the way, and even after the loss to Reese McKeon, to bounce back in such devastating fashion, and to ultimately get there. It's a real feel good story, and a deserved feel good story. There's no real, you know, with Joy, what you see is what you get. Yeah. He's straight up, and there's no bollocks.
There's no bullshit to him.
Yeah, there's no bollocks. And I respect that a lot, and I'm delighted to see him in there, and I think it's going to be a really good fight, as I said.
One thing, actually, so I break this story that he's stepping in for. Actually, knew some MMA were kind of suggesting it, and they are linked to the Casey's camp heavily. So yeah. I was like, all right, if they're talking about this is happening. Yeah. I confirmed it then myself, and I put out the story. And look, it's great news for Joy. And Reese is one of the guys congratulating him, a guy who used to fight. Why do people use that opportunity to get in the comments and be like, oh, they should sign Reese because he knocked him out? Like, Jesus Christ.
Reese has moved up a weight, he's gone a different direction.
I mean, it's just so weird. MMA
Reese is nothing but respect for Joy as well.
I think Reese will be signed in the future. Like, I mean, they have these Belfast events coming up for Cage Warriors. He's going to be the centerpiece. Again. You know, so I think that will happen. But I just don't understand why people, when something good happens, they need to use the opportunity to shit on someone. You know what I mean?
Bitter bastards. Yeah, MMA so community, you're fucked up. You're all fucked up, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I am as well. Sure. Yeah, it's
very, very, very fucking true.
Let's have a look at this 247 card, will we, sir?
Talk into the microphone, help. Listen. He's terrible for the unit.
Listen, this lad playing with his shoes, playing with pens.
They don't hear me, though. I'm aware of what's going on in the ear sets here, right?
It's just tough when you're trying to record a podcast, you know?
Shut up, you little whiner. Listen, there you go. I just don't make crazy, motherfucker.
Just a professional, that's all. So this card is interesting. We have some very interesting European fights on this. And people often ask me when I'm on the A-side with our fellow Irishman, Jose Youngs.
Yeah, don't please mention that name in this broadcast.
Jose Youngs.
Prick.
People always say to me, they go crazy when I'm like, Valentina Shevchenko's European. Lads, I know, I understand the geography here, and I understand that Kyrgyzstan is on the Asian border or whatever.
We claim,
but we don't care. Alright, that's what you just need to realise.
We don't give a shit.
We decide, not you, we do. We are the Eurobash. We fucking call the shots here. But so Europe's Valentina Shevchenko defending her flyweight crown.
It's called Eurasia Bash.
Yeah, that's we got a syllable in. We're claiming her. Caitlin Chookagian in the co-main event here. Chookagian,
who's also of European descent.
Yes,
we claim her as well.
I'm on team Shevchenko.
Okay,
here.
Fair enough.
But look, the thing about Chookagian is she's hard to hit, but Valentina's very good at hitting. So that's why I'm going favourite champion.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's, you know, it's similar, very similar sort of style matchup to the Jessica Eye matchup. You know, Jessica's a quick, good boxer with her hands. But listen, Valentina just has so many more tools in her locker than Chookagian, and that's what it comes down to. I can't see Caitlin winning this fight. She might give her a few problems.
I think it's just going to be a tough fight to watch as well. Like, I mean, I don't think the UFC wanted to put Chookagian in the title fight. I think she basically backed them up against the wall with so many wins, and they had to do it. Like,
they had to. I agree with you, and I don't think it's going to end well. I see it very similar. You know, maybe not as vicious as that knockout against Jessica Eye, but along the same sort of lines and same sort of style of fight we're going to see here. And I can't see anything but Valentina Shevchenko coming out with her hand raised. And
I think it'll be a decision, to be honest. I think Chookagian's very good at being evasive, and, you know, if she doesn't want to exchange with Shevchenko, she doesn't have to, basically. You know, she
I think I don't think Valentina's going to want to hang around for 5 rounds and going to try and end it.
I think it's just tough to do against Caitlin. I wouldn't rule it out going the distance there. Mirsad Bektic against Dan Oig. Ige, sorry, isn't it? Sorry. I've always said Oig.
Yeah.
Ige. So that's a huge fight for Dan, I guess. But Mirsad in desperate need of a win here. This could be very, very tough fight to lose for him coming off that knockout loss to Josh Emmett, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, with Mirsad, it's been weird to see what's gone on in his career. Because it seems like he's got away from his strengths, which was obviously his wrestling and just battering people. And
just battering people.
But like, no, but like, it seems like he tried to stand and bang, and he's just got caught in a few fights. Like, he was very good against Josh Emmett. He was probably winning the fight until he got caught by Josh, you know. And I just wonder, you know, is the mental doubts all that coming in here? But, you know, a guy that we were talking about as a potential world champion a few years ago. But
he's not far off. Like, I mean, he just needs to get some meaningful wins. He needs to get some momentum. I feel like every time we're like, oh, yeah, like, you know, he's bearing down on this title shot, he'll suffer a bad loss. Like, I mean, Darren Elkins' loss.
Yeah.
That, it felt like it took a long time for him to get back.
Yeah, massively, you know? Massively.
And then he beats Lamas, he beats Pepe. They had the Moicano fight booked. He had to pull out of that because of injury. And then Emma happens. Like, I mean, I wonder, all these guys who spend a long time wrestling and stuff, I often wonder about how their bodies are. You know, because it's a grind, man. That's the fucking sport.
He's just had so little momentum, as you said, talk about injuries there. He hasn't fought very often. I think that fight, what is it? A year ago is the Emmett fight. That was the first round. I was thinking the Elkins fight. Sorry, I don't know. I was referencing that. But I think against Josh Emmett as well, he was in control of that early on and then obviously got caught. But yeah, it's just a matter of like getting in there and getting fights.
In 6 years with the UFC, he's fought 8 times. Well,
like, there you go. It's not enough to be knocking on the door to featherweight elite level and, you know, challenging for that title. And he's a guy that can clearly do it. It's just a matter of if he's going to implement that and do it. And he's obviously up with the guys at TriStar now as well. I'd love to see him really just go back to wrestling. Just bang, 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 and just maybe get away from sort of swinging and trying to knock guys out. But let's see what happens here. It's a good fight.
Fans are going to love you for that one.
Yeah.
Right. Any other Europeans here? Yes, of course. Ilir Latifi against Derek Lewis in his heavyweight debut. The size discrepancy is going to be quite poignant there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Latifi's not the tallest light heavyweight, never mind.
He's about, 5'9", 10"? Like, he's not massive. He's obviously a brick of a unit.
But he looks like that dude out of Marvels or whatever he is, that made of boulders. I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, I just can't see this one, you know, going. Again, it's for Latifi. Like,
Latifi should win.
Like, he's built himself up and then he's lost a couple of fights. You're just going, where's he going? Do you know what I mean? It's been like this consistently. And then you look at Lewis. I don't know, man. I think Lewis is going to win this. Like,
Has the touch.
It's the touch, and it's you know, even if he's in comp, you know, how many times has this happened where he's been on his arse and he's been getting his ass kicked and he just comes, gets up and fucking throws a right overhand right against the fence and someone's down.
I can see, like, yeah, okay, that, like, it could definitely be a vintage Lewis fight like that. But I feel like Latifi has the skill set where he could just wrestle him to death here. Like,
would he really be able to take the beast down?
Yeah, I do.
The beast is big, dude. Like,
he is.
He's a big unit.
I think that will help him.
I'm interested to see them side by side.
He doesn't need to change levels. He can just run flat out at him and take him down.
Yeah, he could get a club fist to the back of the side of the head or something. Like, I don't know. It's a tough one to call, but I think I'm going with Derek in this one. It's just, and Latifi hasn't,
back in his continent.
He hasn't instill me with confidence, and you never know what you're going to get with you.
Are you even European?
No. I'm from Kyrgyzstan. There we go.
So you are European.
Well, there, yeah, I am. But nah, he just doesn't instill me with confidence, man. And I think like the beast, you know, the beast pulls it out when you least
expect.
The beast
pulls it out. This
it does sound bad. Jesus Pull Christ. Out your beast. The beast pulls out. Stop. Okay, let's just move on. Let's get away from
we
this.
We better talk about the main event a little bit. John Jones v Dominic Reyes. I have to say, I actually kind of like the fact that Jones has been obviously offended by people kind of bringing up the Dom Reyes as this athlete or whatever. He's like, yeah, you didn't even make a training day for an NFL team. You didn't even, you know, what are you talking about? Like, I like it.
Man, the new Jones is fucking brilliant. I love him. I love
the new Jones. Why?
The last 2 years, John Jones, that we've
just
got.
Just embracing the bad guy.
Embracing the fucking badass motherfucker that he is.
He is.
Right? So, yeah, listen, pull them all out. I don't care. Put your cards on the table. Show them everything out. If it gets under your opponent's skin, fuck it, and it works. Man, it's a fight game. You're only in there for a while.
Yeah, we're not here for a long time.
And, like, look, it doesn't get me. This is what I said to Brandon. It doesn't get me excited, this fight, like, because, man, he's done everything. He's beaten everyone. It's time to go up to heavyweight. You know, win this. I think he's going to fight once more, apparently, at light heavyweight. I just don't get it, man, because
Corey Anderson, if he beats...
Corey does deserve it. I think Corey should have gotten this shot anyway, you know, ahead of him. And I think he did lose. I think we were both agreement. We were in UFC London, I think it was last year, when Ozdemir fought him, that Ozdemir should have really got that decision against Reyes.
I was working in the back, so I didn't really see the fight.
I thought he had took a 29-28. And there's not much he can do to beat John Jones here.
Is that like a compelling sell though to the US audience to see a guy with 12-0? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about casual fans who don't watch fights, like, you know, and they tune in to buy a pay per view. Do you think that works having a undefeated guy?
Because they haven't promoted him.
Yeah.
There's very little known about, you know, even I'm sure a lot of the hardcore fans wouldn't be massively aware of Dominic Reyes. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'd say Corey Anderson would be a far bigger name. Corey's had way bigger spots and bigger cards than Dominic Reyes.
Rattled the cage a bit too hard. I don't think he's
I think he pissed off Dana that time after.
I love that.
I love that. It was fucking brilliant.
It's the best interview he's ever done.
It's what gets people talking. Fair fucks to him, man, and best of luck to him. And I hope he gets John Jones next.
He fucking melted that, Mike. Jose went up to that media day, that Dominance MMA thing, and I can remember it just popped up on Twitter. Yeah. And I was like, what happened to Corey?
Yeah, he just flipped, man.
Left the place.
We've interviewed Corey before and. On side, I think when he fought Jimmy Manoa, and like, fucking hell, man, that was just, it was brilliant. Fucking keep doing it.
Yeah, it's
good. But listen, I think it's going to be straightforward work for John Jones here, and it's no disrespect to Dominic. I think, you know, we know John is on a different level to most fighters on the planet, and I think we're going to see a statement from John Jones.
Introduce your interview with the great Six Guns, please.
Yeah, I caught up with Brandon Six Gun Gibson to talk about, obviously, the fight coming up this weekend. And asked him about some potential European prospects coming out of Jack's Wink MMA Academy down there in Albuquerque. So we'll be back in about 18 minutes to fucking wrap up the show. Always a privilege and a pleasure to speak to this man, one of the best striking coaches in the world. It is Brandon Gibson. His fighter, John Jones, goes back in the cage this weekend at UFC 247. Brandon, first of all, my friend, how are you? Great to speak to you again.
Oh, I'm feeling great. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Niall.
Cheers, man. Brandon, we're just chatting off air there before we came on. You've just wrapped up things there last night. I think you did the final spar with John ahead of this fight against Dominic Reyes. How's everything gone in the build-up? How's the camp gone? How's training gone? And how's John?
You know, in the last 14 months, John's fought three times, so this will be our fourth time. And, you know, John had layoffs in the past for various reasons, but we're very excited to just have him consistently fighting and consistently in camp. And I feel like we're really taking his skill set, his strength, his conditioning, and his overall strategy to a whole new level.
What are the main challenges with John? Obviously, you know, we can talk about his checker past, the problems he's had outside of the cage. Is there maybe, you know, sometimes is it hard to get John motivated because he's literally nearly beaten everyone in the light heavyweight division? What's the major challenge you see when you're training John?
No, it's never motivation. Once he has an opponent, he really dials in and gets focused. It's going to be the marquee matchups like a DC or a Gustafson, but John gets ready. He does, and he takes so much pride in his legacy and his status as the greatest of all time. And, you know, larger goals, not just the Dominic Reyes, but what we want to accomplish in 2020. So getting ready, prepared, having him up at the gym is never a challenge. It's really not. He loves what he does, and our team's grown a bit, so we have some new people helping us out. And, I think that helps his motivation as well.
What new people are helping you guys out ahead of this fight?
We have a great Muay Thai coach that's been out of the Jackson Wing for about 2 years now, Alex Sidipong Dong. And Alex is doing a great job helping John polish some of the finite details of some of his Thai movements. So Alex has been a great addition. We have Garrett Gonzalez, who's a new strength and conditioning coach, that's been helping out quite a bit. And then the staple of coaches that we've had for about a decade now.
What do you see, Brandon, when, you know, I think it's fair to say that maybe John has become more of a fluent striker, and maybe the spinning attacks have come somewhat out of his game, and he's more technically based. Is that something that you've strived to do with John, is to get that element, maybe cleaner striking and more precise striking instead of doing the exuberant kind of shots and combinations?
You know, I think they all complementary moves. So there's definitely a time for him to throw his famous spinning elbow, and there's times for him to throw a spinning back kick, and there's also times for him to sit down on a hard jab cross, sort of, you know, like the second DC fight, really attack the body to set up the head strike. So I feel like as his full arsenal gets more polished, the more he'll be able to bring out the creative attacks and combos. But, you know, even in the last few fights, we saw him throw, like, some amazing, like, jumps.
Yeah.
Faint shot flying knees at Santos and Anthony Smith and spinning heel kicks. And John's eyes are just continuing to get that much sharper.
For you, and I noticed that fight, it's funny you brought that up against Sanders. I could remember, it was either you or maybe or Greg or Mike, I'm not sure, calling for John to do more combinations. Would you like to see John maybe put more volume together when he's throwing combinations?
John is like the king of a variable single strike attack at times. So once he does decide to switch and go into a combination, you know, he'll usually hit 100% of all the moves thrown in the combo. John's very patient. Like, there's no rush. And I think that's another huge advantage John has in these title bouts is how accustomed he is to fighting five rounds. You know, he's been fighting five-round fights for a decade now. So he knows he has time in these. He doesn't have to come out swinging right away. He doesn't have to throw the kitchen sink. He's very methodical about when we throw a combo, when we use, you know, and how we establish attacks.
Definitely. Were you a little, do you ever get frustrated in that situation then? Because in the Sanders fight, there was possibly an opportunity in the fifth round to finish Sanders, and God knows how that guy stayed in that fight altogether with his knees blown out. It was a remarkable show of courage. But is there ever frustration that you want John to maybe, you know, pile it on a little bit more in situations like that to get the finish?
Oh, we always love a finish, but we love victory even more. So, you know, Santos was very, I mean, even with his knee injured, he was swinging such hard hooks and being there cage side, you could feel the velocity of those. You could see the sweat flying and you could see Santos had no quit in him. He was going to swing as hard as he could until the bell. So, you know, John had to stay very cognizant, very aware, and continue to, you know, make sure that he controlled the fight and dominated, not give Santos an edge or the slightest window in.
What do you see? I know you're obviously a big student of the game, you know, being in the profession you're in and in the striking business. What do you see in Dominic Reyes? Because, you know, it's been a little bit up and down for me for him. I know he's unbeaten, but, you know, possibly that fight against Volkan Ozdemir in London, I was over covering the fight, and you know, a lot of people had that fight scored for Volkan, and then he obviously coming off a win last time out as well. What do you see in an opponent to him for John Jones?
I think Dominic's greatest strength is his confidence. You know, he has a competitive mindset. He comes out very hard early on. And I agree with you. I scored the Volkan fight in Volkan's favor. I thought Volkan did more than enough in the second and third to wrap it up. But Reyes stayed game. You know, he like Santos, Reyes also stayed dangerous throughout the fight. You know, he caught Ovince with a second left. So, you know, I think he always has great power in his left side, good speed on his right side. And he's game. He knows that this is a big moment for him, and I think he's going to do everything he can to seize it, and it's going to be our job to shut him down on every area. Take him to some deep waters.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing John obviously back in there. I think like the mixed martial arts world is. But when you look back in the past, and you know, John's talked about how he let you guys down at times with his actions outside of the cage. When you're in the gym now with John and that situation arises, he's back in the gym, do you sort of look back and you could see maybe faults, you know, him coming in training, different things that he was doing? And maybe what I'm saying is, can you recognize if John was maybe up to no good outside of the cage from his behavior in the gym?
You know, I think we all really stuck by each other through the trying times. And we knew that these good times were going to come. And we just had to, you know, stay committed to each other, stay focused on the large goals and help each other become better men, each and every one of us throughout these experiences. And I think we kind of made a vow to each other that, you know, when we got through all of these trials and tribulations, that we would fight as hard as we could for each other. And I believe that's what we're doing. I think 2019 was a great example of that. So, yeah, you know, John's in a much different place than he was a few years ago, and I see his strength and his resolve and his maturity. So I'm excited that his personal life is getting a better and better place every day, and I think that will show even more in the art he puts out in the cage.
Is John much like Conor McGregor that, you know, you sort of have to keep him in the gym, you have to keep him busy in the world and obviously of mixed martial arts? Do you have to keep him in the gym to maybe keep him out of a little bit of trouble outside of the cage?
Oh, I'd like to think that even, you know, when he's done with the fight game that he won't be causing no trouble. But I think that having a passion and a goal and a love for what you do, no matter what our jobs are in life, will benefit you in every capacity. So, you know, when John does have a fight and a goal, I think he's truly at his best in every area of his life.
Obviously, the testing, I think, is going to come up again this week. You know, obviously, the picograms that was in the build-up to the last fight and the fight prior against DC. You know, the amount of testing, I think John was tested, you know, about 9 to 10 times, you know, in the last fight. Has it been the same in this fight camp? Has John been rigorously tested over and over again?
Oh, yeah, and John's still tested by three different agencies. He's still tested by USADA, WADA, and Nevada. Wow. So, John, I mean, he's the most tested athlete in mixed martial arts for sure, if not any sport. Yeah, and you know there'll always be those critics out there, but it's funny because now you saw it as new limit on the N3 metabolite that he had failed for, been flagged for. How you saw it as now an acceptable limit. So with the current limits, we would have never been pulled out of UFC 200 or any any of these other issues. So I think it was at a point where the science was better than our understanding of it. Like the testing capacity was better than our understanding of it.
Does that piss you off?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we all lost out on a lot of opportunities. I feel like it brought, you know, we know that there was never anything wrong or unfair in these competitions. So, you know, it was just lost opportunities. But regardless, we have opportunities ahead of us start, you know, next Saturday, and we just stay focused on that and grateful for the path we're on. And I hope that the science and the sport continues to evolve and we are able to keep the sport as, you know, as clean as possible. That's all of our goals.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. You guys speak, and it's something that you often say as well, and I know you're obviously looking at the task in hand on Saturday, but after a win, normally, you know, you're straight back to the drawing board of what's next for John Jones. Providing he gets a win on Saturday, you know, Israel Adesanya has had a little bit of beef with John Jones, and he's obviously, you know, the middleweight champion. Jones is obviously the light heavyweight champion, but two phenomenal strikers. Is that something John's having fun with, do you think, or is that something that you could see potentially happening down the line?
Oh, I could definitely see that fight lining up down the road. They're two, you know, stars in our game. I think this will be a fight that fans will really want to see. As Israel has a few more title defenses, I think their paths could cross in a line. I saw Izzy say the other day that he's not worried about weight, and that he's fought at heavyweight in kickboxing before, and I love that attitude that he has, and who knows? Maybe they'll be able to sell out a stadium one day for that bout. I would be excited to train for that one.
Who wouldn't, man? Jesus Christ! Imagine that in the stadium show. That would be insane. Listen to me, right? You know the talk is going to go on about, you know, I think maybe if John wins this fight on Saturday, there's literally no one else in the light heavyweight division at the moment. I think in terms of, as you say, a marquee name for John to get really excited about, and, you know, a money fight as well, which obviously he deserves. Do you think this is possibly the last time we'll see John Jones at light heavyweight, and he'll gradually make that move towards heavyweight this year?
I think a move towards heavyweight will be inevitable. I think that is one of our bigger goals, but whether it's this year or next or 2022, I don't know. I definitely think we'll see John fight at light heavyweight again. For sure. I mean, this is a belt he's owned for a decade, and who knows where the path will take us, but it's something that I know he holds very dear.
What's John's mindset, and what's your mindset when you see, you know, the likes of these, the talk of him, you know, fighting DC again at heavyweight, or Stipe Miocic, or, you know, French Cameroonian Francis Ngannou? Is there an excitement there for John to go up and do that?
Oh, absolutely. And we've been seeing John train with, you know, Hall of Fame championship caliber heavyweights for a long time, like Arlovski and Overeem and Travis Brown and Frank Mir. We've had so many greats at our gym. And so, you know, I've seen John firsthand demonstrate his skills against heavyweight fighters. And I know he's very confident. And as the challenges in light heavyweight continue to be resolved, I think heavyweight is a logical next step.
Brandon, I know you're a guy, you're very astute in what you do with your striking coaching. And I know you look on at fights quite a lot. And there must be something in your mind that you'd like to see down the line. Is it, you know, Francis Ngannou, Miocic at heavyweight? Is there anything that really sort of excites you as a coach looking on at that?
Man, I think John matches up very well against so many of the heavyweights. I would love to see, you know, the game plan we could develop for a power puncher like Stipe, or a trilogy fight against DC at heavyweight, or an ultimate powerhouse like Ngannou. Man, there's so many possibilities that excite me, just like Adesanya. So it really is our goal to, you know, make sure that we take care of business with Dominic to create opportunities like that for ourselves in the future.
100%, man. Imagine seeing any of those fights, just be unbelievable. And I think we will, hopefully, down the line anyway. But listen, I got to ask you this one. You know, you get a lot of European fighters through the doors there, training with you in Albuquerque. Is there anyone you can point out at the moment that we should be looking out for over here in Europe that's training with you or come through the doors in the last year?
Man, I have a fighter, Manolo, from Italy, 145er. He's been fighting on some, you know, different regional shows here and there. I think he's fought in Bellator. But Manolo's ultra-talented kickboxer, surprisingly strong wrestler, and he helped prepare Pico a lot for this most recent victory. So,
phenomenal.
Yeah, we have some good ones coming through. French fighter in the UFC, Thibaut Golti.
Yeah, I know Thibaut, yeah.
He's been a gym staple. He's been doing really well becoming a part of our team, and we always have some amazing fighters coming in and out. You know, there's a young Irish fighter I trained. He's 17, he's probably 18 now. It is like my most viewed video on Instagram. And this young man is ultra talented, and I know he's going to do some big things. But I'm waiting to get him back in the gym. He's traveling around quite a bit, but he'll be an Irish superstar one day.
Yeah, who is that? I probably know him.
I'm my brain is drawn a blank right now. He's like one of my favorite youngsters.
You can't remember the Irish names. We'll let you off, Brandon.
No. I feel so embarrassed right now because I like brought him up.
No worries, man.
I'm going to follow up with you on this.
Sure, throw me a text later on. There's no stress.
I feel embarrassed right now. It's still early here in the States.
No worries. Listen, all right, ultimate prediction for the fight on Saturday. Are we going to see John get in there and you know, show the world why he is, you know, potentially the greatest mixed martial artist of all time?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have 5 rounds against a dangerous opponent, but we're going to really exploit this guy as the fight goes on. I think John has all the tools in all the areas to finish him, but that's what we're really looking for, is a finish. John's going to make a statement in this fight.
Brilliant. I look forward to it. I'm super.
Alas, my brain, my synapses fired. My young Irish protege, Dara O'Sullivan.
Oh, wow. Dara O'Sullivan.
No, he's back home in Ireland.
All right, okay.
He's been training at SBG a little bit with Owen Rowdy. He's a talented young kickboxer, but one of the best like teenage talents I've ever seen. So wow. I'm embarrassed I drew a blank on that for a second, but
there you go.
Yeah, I hope to see young Dara again.
You redeemed yourself, Brandon.
embarrass myself.
Brandon, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to the fight on Saturday night, and I do appreciate your knowledge and your insight and your time for stopping by on the show today. Good to speak to you, my friend.
Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
And now that's all the interviews on our Eurobash extravaganza this week. Fair play, Noel.
Extravaganza?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, do you want me to?
Yeah, to your more
this
ash.
Is the, the last interview.
Morgan Charrier, Brandon Gibson,
Leon Edwards,
Jai Herbert. Yeah, no, good one, man. Yeah, just what a girl from Rooney about 20 years ago. All right, yeah, you're gonna ask me at United, Bruno Fernandes.
Yes, what did you think of their transfer window? The coronavirus has gifted you with another striker, I believe, because you can't play in China.
Yeah,
right? What's that guy's name?
Odion Ighalo, he's played for Watford.
So he's top quality as well.
Now listen, right, United need numbers, simple as that, and I've talked about this in work quite a lot that. It's just numbers. It's all about numbers. The board there haven't bought the players. They haven't replaced what they got rid of last summer. I think they got rid of 11 last summer. They brought in 3. So it's desperately in need of numbers. And this guy, yeah, he's real direct sort of striker. So he'll nick a goal or two, you know. You're only as good the players you play with. So interesting, yeah. But I'm very much more excited about Bruno.
A lot of people told me that I didn't watch the match. His debut, he was played out of position. That wouldn't fill me confidence now if I was still... a big football.
Yeah, he was sort of playing on the right and on the inside.
Holding midfielder,
number 10, yeah. Second half, he actually started playing in the holding midfield position. But he just looks so good in the ball that I think you can put him anywhere. He's one of those players, you know, technically good. And a real asset to Manchester United Football Club, I think, going forward for the rest of this season. After the winter break, Peter.
Yeah, like really good sign that they're drawing with Wolves now.
Well, Wolves are a really good side.
They aren't. They're shite like United. They're in the same position as they're in, and they have half the points of the league leaders at the moment, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're not a good side.
They're a good side.
They're a middle side.
Not a good side
like Manchester United at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl, like, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed with myself. I, like, fell asleep at halftime, just went home because I'm like, I of all the things I should be able to shine on, it's like staying up late for sports events. And look, at the biggest stage, I fell, you know. Did you stay up and watch
it? Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Yeah, I didn't go out for it now. I stayed at home and just banged it on.
It's the best way to do it. It's best to stay at home when it's on that fucking hour anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't over till half four. Jesus. 4 o'clock, so. Yeah, and I watched it. I wouldn't, like, you know, I've watched it more American football this year probably than ever before. And no, I do enjoy watching it. It's not the worst, but I wouldn't be a massive, you know.
I only watch Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't even know the player here and there or whatever, but Kansas is a very strong MMA community, so Kansas City in Missouri, so they'd be very happy.
Yeah, I actually thought your man Mahomes played for the 49ers.
So did I at the start. I'm not going to lie.
that's how fucking shit I am.
Yeah, it was Garoppolo is the quarterback for the 49ers.
Yeah, I just basically learned who the teams were by looking at people's jerseys.
There's loads of parties on in town. Like, Dublin goes mad for it now these days. There's a lot more stuff
it's
than there was
crack,
10
like,
years
you know,
ago. Yeah, I think it's just a night out for people.
Yeah, absolutely. We were saying that on the way in. We're like, we're just doing this for points.
That's you it, know you know what I mean? I was half tempted to go last night. I went, fuck it, I better not. Like, but yeah, maybe next year. Maybe I'll be at the Super Bowl. Maybe I'll be playing for one of the teams.
It's a good point.
Quarterback.
I'd say it's a good chance of happening, actually.
Yeah, I'd say so as well.
So I mean, we're back with the MMA action this weekend. I'm actually kind of looking forward to an old John Jones fight and Shevchenko. I like an old doubleheader.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I'm interested by these fights. Like, I like Justin Taffa and Juan Adams. I'm seeing two inexperienced heavyweights on the main card. That has the potential to stink the place out before those title fights. Apologies.
It is the potential to fucking get it going the other way as well, man.
Yeah, Taffa's a knockout artist, but Juan Adams is certainly a wrestler based on what I saw against him and Greg Hardy anyway. He's dying to wrestle him.
So interesting. I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm not buzzing for the card. And that's even after speaking with Coach Gibson, but it just
what card are you buzzing for anymore though?
No, I am. I'm buzzing for a load of cards, man. I am, like Tony and Khabib, like, you know, we're not gonna get them every day of the week fighting each other. Certainly not. But I just think at the moment, where John has just cleared out everyone, that it's hard to. I just think the heavyweight thing just needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Mm. Yeah, no, I am intrigued. I think there's so many good options there, lucrative options there for the UFC and for John Jones. So, yeah, I think this could be the penultimate time at 205 before he goes heavyweight. I do imagine he will return to 205, even though he fights a heavyweight, because he makes the way fairly easily as far as
he does. It's not a massive.
It looks. But yeah, that's easy all we have for you. Think I might go and get myself a KFC or something.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm starving.
A lovely curry there earlier was good.
Nice. Did you go for the fried rice or the boiled?
No, I made it myself.
So you can't make fried rice now?
Yeah, of course I can. I make wicked fried rice. No, just do the boiled one. You can't go fried rice for curry. It's only Chinese curry you go fried rice. Not Indian.
What curry are you talking about? Oh, right, okay. Yeah, okay. No, that's fair enough. That's a different thing. Yeah. What kind of Indian curry?
It's just like Indian texture. Like there was coconut. Like you don't put coconut in.
Sounds Thai to me.
No, you can put Kerala. It's a big coconut area in India.
How many times have you been to India?
Loads. Loads. Okay, just stop talking shite. Like, fucking wrap the show. Ask me what ingredients in a curry. Okay, we're doing a cookery fucking show next week, lads.
I'd love to do a cookery show.
I'd love to do a food vlog. We should do one when we're in Vegas sometime. Just go eat the fucking face off ourselves.
Too busy when you're fucking
Vegas.
I just
want to go for our food. Like, yeah, that is true.
But, right, look, we're going. We're talking shite. We love yous loads. Say thanks for all these interviews.
Good luck.
It was a lot of work. Thank you. Bye.